and infrared technology to the tremendous optical advances of the last century, when astronomers started attaching cameras to telescopes. The infrared imaging systems use tiny microchips. Attached to a telescope, they reveal objects that are too cool to shine visibly, or that are blocked from direct view by dust clouds or more luminous objects. With the detectors, astronomers probe interstellar clouds that are heated from within by young stars forming, and dying stars as they throw off shells of matter. This technological revolution in infrared astronomy may shortly take another leap into space. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Stardate is a production of the McDonald Observatory. We're at the University of Texas at Austin, or ZIP 78712. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
Changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
Please repeat.
The number you have reached has been changed. The new number has been disconnected.
Ring damage.
Deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
Good evening, Vice President Nixon.
Good evening, Mr. Howe.
Welches sind die Regenbogenfarben?
The unity is in my head.
Do not push a key in 3 seconds. You will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
And spring is in the air, as you can no doubt tell by the sound of the airwaves tonight. It's just so apparent. 16 degrees, and I don't even have to look at the Fahrenheit conversion scale to know that 16 degrees Celsius converts to 61 on the Fahrenheit scale. I don't know why it's so easy for me to remember that one particular conversion. 16 turns out to be 61. It just is. It's something I've always been able to do. We have a lot of special things coming your way tonight. The program, by the way, in case you're wondering what you just tuned into, the program is Brain Damage. Eric Corley with you until noon? No, midnight. 12 o'clock midnight tonight. 2 hours of insanity and bizarre things and phone calls. So give us a call, 632-6901. Speak your piece on the air, area code 516 if you're not on Long Island. Coming up tonight... One thing that's coming up tonight.
There is no coffee that knows German?
No. No. No one.
You'll find out the story behind that. And it's quite a story, too. It's coming up sometime within the next couple of hours. And we have a radio first. A radio first will be happening here on our airwaves at some point tonight as well. So stay right where you are here. 90.1 FM is the radio station, WUSB, are the letters that are assigned to us by the FCC. And while we are figuring out what to do and waiting for some phone calls to come in, 632-6901, area code 516, let's take a look at the news in this crazy world of ours. Yet another bizarre twist to yesterday's shooting spree in Minetka, Illinois. Police say at least 3 families who hired babysitter Lori Dan received samples of juice yesterday, which authorities say may be poisoned. There are no reports of illness, but the juice samples are being tested. One authority says there is evidence that milk found in the home of Dan's last employer may have been tampered with, and books on poison were found in Dan's apartment. Police say Lori Dan went on a 9-hour killing spree yesterday after being told she was losing her babysitting job. Well, some people just take things different ways, I guess. She shot to death 1 8-year-old and critically wounded 5 other children and 1 adult before killing herself. Today, the parents of Nicholas Corwin delivered a brief handwritten eulogy of their son to reporters. They called Nicholas a gifted child who enjoyed helping others. Amateur radio reports monitored by the civil defense in the Dominican Republic say a strong earthquake has hit eastern Cuba. And with more on that, let's go to this piece of paper over here. Reports of a major earthquake in Cuba are being questioned. Amateur radio reports monitored in the Dominican Republic say a strong earthquake hit eastern Cuba and caused extensive damage and injury. But other reports now say there was no quake. Nadine Curry, director of the civil defense in Santo Domingo, that's in the Dominican Republic, not Cuba, said radio reports indicated the eastern Cuban town of Santiago had been severely damaged. The report was received from a group identified as the Radio Club of Santiago in Cuba. But a telephone operator at the Sierra Maestra newspaper in Santiago denies there was any earthquake in the city. The Cuban Interest Section in Washington said, and the Foreign Relations Office in Havana say they had no knowledge of a quake. At the National Earthquake Information Center in Golden, Colorado, geophysicist John Minch said there was no record of a quake in Cuba in this morning's records. And when did that story come across? Looks like sometime in the afternoon. So I guess there was no earthquake. We would have heard about it by now. How come we only have the afternoon's newscast? Interesting. President Reagan took his pitch to the people again today to try and dislodge Senate opposition to ratification of the INF Treaty. Reagan wants the treaty okayed before he leaves for the Moscow summit next week. In his weekly radio address, the president says the treaty has undergone careful scrutiny in committee and should be passed. The Democrats are taking another shot at trying to get the president to sign off on a massive trade bill, while Reagan repeated his intention to veto it. In the Democrats' radio address, Senate Majority Leader Robert Byrd says a strong economic policy is crucial to maintaining a strong... Strong military to protect U.S. interests abroad. Something about strong military that I just can't seem to have my eyes focused on it. A high-level meeting at the White House has ended, with no word on whether agreement has been reached on a deal to get Panama's leader Manuel Noriega to surrender power. Vice President George Bush and Howard Baker refused to respond to reporters' questions after leaving the meeting, which reportedly included President Reagan. One possible deal would reportedly allow Noriega to help set up an interim government and leave the country for 9 months in exchange for the U.S. dropping drug charges against him. In a deal that may end the fighting in South Beirut, the spiritual leader of the pro-Iranian Hezbollah says he would accept Syrian troop presence in Beirut. That report comes from a newspaper in Spain. Thousands of Syrians are massed on the outskirts of Beirut, preparing to move in. Former Tennessee Governor Ray Blanton, who spent 2 years in prison for extortion and fraud, is running for Congress. Blanton told about 50 supporters today in Jackson that the cornerstone of his campaign will be to bring fairness to government. Blanton, who still denies the charges, says his conviction is a glaring example of government unfairness. Running for Congress, yes. We'll have a report in a little while about some people who are running for president that you might be interested in. Some other people that you might not have been acquainted with before. In the meantime, though, let's try to get a hold of somebody who already has run for president and has, in fact, succeeded. Our own president, Mr. Reagan, who is always busy every time we call him on this show. And it's not busy today, so let's hear what he has to say. I have a feeling I know why it's not busy. Gee, that's a real shame, you know? I really would have liked to have heard what the president had to say today. Let's see if we can call directly this time, and hopefully they can hook us into the right number that won't be busy. Yes, that's what will happen.
White House.
Hi, is this the White House?
Yes.
Can you hook me up to the White House press service, please?
I think they've gone for the day.
How do I get the recording of Reagan's speech? Well, that sounded interesting. That was the White
House. I'll call during the day and ask for the publications office.
Uh-huh. Okay, I'll try that then.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Let's stay on the line, see if that dial tone comes back. That was kind of interesting there. They didn't hang up. Why do I have to hang up? They could just stay there all night long, for all I care. 17 minutes after 10 o'clock, the program is Brain Damage. We're taking your phone calls, 632-6901. And quite a few interesting things to talk about tonight. Some radio firsts, some radio seconds. They're still there. They haven't hung up. They're just, like, monitoring. But they're not. They can't hear what I'm saying because I have the special little mute button pushed in. Just sitting there listening. Okay, I'm going to put them on hold then and take this call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Oh, this is Andrew Goldberg.
I should have said hello, Andrew Goldberg, because you're always the
Am
first call.
Am I the first call?
You're the first call. Yes, you are the first call today.
Wow.
What's new with you?
What have you been talking about?
What have we been talking about? Well, we just read the news. We just tried unsuccessfully to call the Reagan press service, but we got through to the White House, and they're still on hold monitoring us over there. Other than that, we haven't really done much. We just began the program, so there's not much we can have done at this point.
All right. That's cool. Let's see. What's new in the world? First of all, before we start off,
We have started off.
Hello to Bobby Moriarty.
Hello, all you people there.
It's his birthday.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Okay. Well.
Hold on one second. I just want to see how the White House is doing. Let me hold on.
Okay. Yeah.
Hello. Hello, is anybody there? Silence. Silence from the White House. Oh, isn't it something? There's no one here. But they're still there. They haven't hung up. Well, let's put them on hold again. We'll come back to them later. Andrew, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. We just had to check on the White House, see how they're doing.
All right. It's in the National Enquirer. It's all over the world. Oprah Winfrey gained 2 pounds.
She did?
Yep.
I was wondering. I thought I noticed something.
Okay. Let's see.
Anything else?
You know that answering machine? If you want to get, like, a bumper sticker or something, WUSB?
The WUSB program guide and bumper sticker hotline? Is that what you're referring to?
I called that up. You know what they give me? They send me a bumper sticker 3 weeks later.
Well, you're lucky you got one.
I know, but I wanted the program guide. I especially asked you.
Oh, you wanted the program guide?
Yeah.
Well, I say call that thing up right now. And well, I'll transfer you over there. In fact, I can do that. And make sure you make that clear.
Okay.
Because it has to get to the appropriate people. Sounds like I'm giving you the runaround, but I'm really not.
Okay, Mr. Radio, call in. Did he call in last week or sometime?
I haven't heard from Mr. Radio in weeks.
What?
That's why I sound so cheerful. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give out the number for the program guide and bumper sticker hotline for people who want to get a bumper sticker and don't want to talk to a human. They can call this machine, leave their name and address, and we'll send them out a program guide or a bumper sticker, or even both if we're in a good mood. The number is 632-6498. That is to get the recording there. The number to reach us is 632-6901. Andrew, I'm going to transfer you over using our marvelous new technical phone system here.
Uh-oh, this is a scary thing.
It's scary, yeah. If you don't make it, it's sort of like not beaming down or something like that. So let's give it our shot.
Gone.
Here we go.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. You may now release the call or hang up.
Okay, we're going to release the call here. The call is released. Let's check with the White House. Hello, is anyone there? Anyone at all? The White House is gone. I'm going to hang up on these people. Should I hang up on them?
Yes.
Okay, I'm being told to hang up on them because it is a waste of a phone line going down there.
Absolutely.
But why don't they hang up their phones? You know, I feel like calling them again just to see if they hang up the second time. But that'd be silly. Let's take some calls here. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, it's Dave again.
Dave?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, you called last week, didn't you? You're Andrew's friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Andrew got something wrong. All right, it's not Bobby's birthday, it's his father's birthday.
It's Bobby's father's birthday. You see, that's how misunderstandings get started, you know?
I feel like I'm on Mr. Rogers.
I mean, we have to get things clear. It's not Bobby's birthday. It's Bobby's father's birthday.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew, I hope you stand corrected out there. Thanks for clearing that up for us.
What are you talking about this week?
So far, not much of anything, actually. We're going to be talking about other things. We have some special features coming up. But we just wanted to see what was on the minds of the listeners this evening.
Okay, my brother wants to say hi.
How old is your brother?
He's 9. His name is Mike.
Okay.
Okay, here he is. Mike. Hi.
Hi, Mike.
Good.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
I want to ask you a question.
Okay, well, we're here to give answers. Go ahead.
Did you ever have a Nintendo?
What was the question?
Did you ever hear of a Nintendo?
I believe it's Nintendo.
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 No, why don't you tell us what that is?
Well,
it's a Dave.
Shut up, Dave. Well, it's a kind of like video game thing. You put cartridges in it and you play these cool games.
Uh-huh. Is it like a computer type thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. Do you have one?
Yeah.
Are you using it now?
No. I'm listening to Brain Damage.
But after you listen to Brain Damage, I bet you're going to play with that thing, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I wish I had one of those, but I don't. You know?
Okay.
Not all of us are that lucky.
Yeah.
What town are you folks in?
Town? Holtzville.
Holtzville. Oh, yes, Holtzville. Great place.
Okay. Here's Dave.
Okay.
Okay, I just want to say, hi to Karen Schmidt.
Karen Schmidt?
Yeah, Karen Schmidt.
Okay, hello, Karen Schmidt.
Okay, so I guess that's all.
Okay, that's all for this week, then. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
632-6901. That's our telephone number. The program is Brain Damage, and we have all kinds of fun things coming up. Lauren is here. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
Say hello. Don't touch the mic, because it makes
a
horrible noise when you touch the mic.
I don't know about this.
Awful, awful sounds.
It's good to be here, Eric.
Just speak into the mic, and that way people don't know that you're on the radio, and you know, we don't have to talk about all these background things that people couldn't care less about. So
right.
Just don't move the mic, don't touch the mic, don't even think that there's a mic
well,
there.
Eric, it's and been just, real pleasant. I've got to go. You know, 10,
we believe in having people stop by here and speaking their mind. It's a controversial program.
Right, thank you for letting me speak my mind.
That's what we're here for.
Thank you.
Come again sometime.
I will. Goodbye.
Let's take some phone calls. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, man.
Hey.
Is that Miriam?
Miriam?
That Miriam that was there.
No, this isn't Miriam. My name's Eric.
Oh, the woman there. The female woman.
No, the
boy.
Woman there.
Oh, the female woman here is Lauren.
Oh.
Yeah, but...
It didn't sound high enough to be Miriam.
No, it's definitely not Miriam.
But anyway, Miriam owes me tickets.
Oh, you must be referring to the Miriam that's on Wednesday nights.
Yes, but I won this ticket back in Demissary.
Demissary? Do you mean December?
December, that's right.
Yeah, okay. Well, now, where were the tickets to? Bahamas?
No, I was supposed to go to see Urban Blight.
Oh, Urban Blight!
And I think they're over.
Well, if you won them back in December, usually we give away tickets for things that are going to happen soon. Did you come get them, or did you try to come get them?
Mailed them to me. It's never mailed them to me. My address has not changed.
Uh-huh. But they never made it to you.
But I also like to get a program guide and a bonus dinner.
Okay. Well, you know what I could do? I could transfer you over to the bumper sticker program guide hotline. Would you like that?
Is that an 800 number?
Well, it's even better than that, because you don't have to do another thing. You can just stay...
Every time I call an 800 number, no one answers. I call the crack line, I call the VD line, I call everybody, 800, and I ain't getting no answers.
Well, you know why no one answers? Because whenever they pick up the phone, they have to start paying for the call. So if they just let it ring, they don't have to pay anything. So that's why no one ever picks up 800 numbers.
That's a good answer.
It's a sham, that's what it is. But what I can do for you is I can transfer you over to our hotline, and it'll be on us. You'll talk to the answering machine, leave your name, address, all that kind of thing, and we'll send you out all the information you want. Is that what you'd like?
I'd like to leave a message for Miriam, too.
You could do that as well.
Good, I'm going to ask them, where are my tickets?
Okay, well, you leave that message there. I'm going to transfer you now. Hold on. This is so much fun.
Hello, this is the phone mail system. You may now release the call or hang up.
Goodbye. Okay. 632-6901. If you want a bumper sticker, call the bumper sticker and program guide hotline direct, 632-6498. Our number is 632-6901. If you want tickets from someone else, I can't really help, you know. I can't get the tickets for you, but I can pass the complaints on if you didn't get them or something. Good evening. You're on brain damage.
The Yankees are winning 3-2.
Excuse me? Was that a language you were familiar with?
I think they played some Led Zeppelin album backwards.
Oh, well,
Mr. Corley,
I'll have to take the tape out and play it backwards later and see what that message was. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, hi, Eric. It's only me.
That's only you?
Only me.
Oh, I should hang up then, shouldn't I?
Well, maybe you could transfer me like you did to everybody else. That's a good way to get rid of people.
Well, where would you like to be transferred to? We can transfer you virtually anywhere, I think.
If the White House calls, will I get dumped?
The White House isn't going to call, I don't think. Unless I manage to trace the call somehow.
Oh, by the way, do I meet the criterion for the brain damage program yet?
What do you mean, do you meet the criterion?
Can you say criterion?
Criterion.
Very good.
Criterion?
Well, I just wanted to say, let's see. We have to get more brain-damaged subjects on this air.
Well, we have some brain-damaged material coming. That's good. That's the point I've been trying to make.
Because I may not be listening. Oh, and by the way, Maria, if you're listening, disregard everything I say, okay?
Yeah, he doesn't mean what he says.
Well, no. She sometimes tunes into me by mistake. She works in the same building I do, and then she might think that I'm a real nut, but I just do this for the program, because this program needs a personality.
So, you mean you're not a real nut in real life? You're only a real nut Saturdays from 10 to
12? Possibility. But I just wanted to say, well, over the airwaves, that all the people that believe in astrology, they're all pinheads.
Pinheads. Well, perhaps you could elaborate.
Well, did you ever study astronomy?
I took an astronomy course.
Well, you know how far away everything is, right?
It's
almost, it's impossible for me as a human being to comprehend
there are
distances.
There are no field trips in astronomy classes.
And there's no way that you're ever going to travel these distances. The distances between here and the stars and other galaxies are just, they're beyond my comprehension.
Tell me, do you watch Star Trek, The Next Generation?
Sometimes. I saw the one that Marvin Kittman was making fun of.
What was he making fun of this time?
Yeah, Marvin Kittman was making fun of the oil slick.
Yeah, the oil slick.
The oil slick. Well,
yeah.
that was pretty silly, don't you think? Well, the oil slick that killed Tasha Yar?
Oh, yeah. He was really, really, really harping on that. You know how Marvin Kittman is. He's a great guy, though. I like Marvin Kittman. If you're listening, Marvin...
Marvin's cool.
But he's not listening to a great station like this. He's probably listening to Z100.
Well, he's probably watching TV. That's what Marvin does. He doesn't listen to the radio.
But what was I saying now?
Well, the oil slick I thought was not very well done. It looked like a video effect that wasn't
it
very...
really? I happened to catch that one.
Uh-huh.
I was flipping back and forth between that and nature, so I really didn't... But what I was saying is anybody who believes in astrology, they have the same mentality that the people who used to believe the Earth was flat. That's the same... I would equate that with them.
Why?
Why? Because... How are these things going to influence anybody? The gravity, the X-rays, the light, or other rays from stars billions of miles away affect us on Earth. How are they going to affect us? That's impossible.
Well, people have been believing it for centuries, and if the President of the United States believes it...
Well, he's a pinhead for believing that. I used to really like Reagan.
Well, now, I don't know if I can continue this conversation. If you're going around calling the President of the United States a quote-unquote pinhead...
Well, this is brain damage. I mean,
yeah, but that's mockery of a great man. That's tantamount to espionage or something horrible like that.
Well,
you don't go around calling the president a pinhead.
To call up and what's on our mind.
I'm sorry. I mean, I have certain lines that I don't cross, and that's a big line there. You just don't call the president a pinhead. But, you know, even if you like to call the president a pinhead. You don't do that.
I saw the FCC guidelines up there when I was up there visiting Steve, and it said, do not call President Reagan a pinhead in capital letters.
Quotated.
Or italicized.
It's up there, and there's a reason for it. He's sensitive.
Okay, Reagan, I take it back.
If you'd like, I could transfer you to the White House and
you could call
them pinheads yourself, and they can trace you right back and discuss it with you personally.
Oh, no. I don't want the CIA to take
would
me away.
Would you like that? I mean, I can arrange it.
Oh, no. Let's be good.
I notice your tone has turned much more humble now, sir.
Yeah. Anybody who believes in astrology is still a pinhead in my book.
I
said it.
Your comments have been noted.
Yeah. Okay. So take care, Eric, and
don't forget to read your horoscope today.
And keep. Oh God. And keep up the good work.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Yep. Bye now.
632-6901. That number once again, 632-6901. Call up. It's just like a party. Really, it's just like a party, only it's us. You know, it's not one of those 900 numbers. It's not one of those other conference-type numbers, and it doesn't cost a dollar a minute. But we think you'll be happy. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hi, it's Andrew.
Andrew, this is your second call.
Yeah,
I know. There's people lined up outside. I mean, isn't that kind of unfair?
It's just not the same brain damage. What is this?
I mean, it's not the same brain damage. What do you want?
We want, like, those boat whistles and things.
Boat whistles.
You know, you know, what those sound effects.
Well, maybe the boat whistles will come in on their own accord.
I mean, it's getting...
We're waiting for them to come in.
It's getting so the sun is boring.
They should be here soon. Boat whistles and all kinds of avalanches, things like that.
No, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my interest in the show. And
in the meantime, let's have some Indian music. That's Indian music?
Yeah.
Since when is that Indian music?
Hey, buddy!
There's your boat horn.
All right, yeah!
Okay, thanks for calling, Andrew. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, man.
Whoa, hold on, the boat's not gone yet. Okay, there goes the boat. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man, is this a circle line or what?
You came back. I transferred you and you came back. Did you come back through there or did you call again?
No, man. Somebody's advertising a party on the radio.
It's just like a party. It's not really a party.
Not really a party.
It's the radio party line.
I hear you also you're giving away bumper stickers.
Well, we're giving away bumper stickers to people that call our bumper sticker hotline and request it. Yes.
What is that, some kind of 800 number?
It's better than that. It's didn't I have this conversation before?
I did, Eric.
I have a sense of deja vu here. It's 632-6498 is our bumper sticker hotline. 632-6901 is our radio station party line.
I'm calling for the party. I have no bumpers in my car, man.
Okay. Well, you can stick them on your windshield. You know, you can stick them anywhere. You know, where you put the inspection sticker, you can put that up instead. It's good just for twice as long, I hear.
Anyway, where's this party?
It's happening over 90.1 FM. It's kind of a conceptual thing.
I was going to turn them on tonight, Stony Brook. Good station.
Uh huh. Yeah, you ought to try them out. I hear they program good things.
All right. So look, if Andrew calls, you can tell him to go to bed.
Okay, I'll try that, or someplace.
Shouldn't be up in the middle of the night talking to people like you, you know?
Well, I've tried to say that, but no one seems to want to listen to me. Thanks for calling, sir.
Hey, good night, man.
Bye-bye. Well, we have George Bush, who is U.S. Vice President. We have Robert Dole, U.S. Senator from Kansas. Alexander Haig, former U.S. Secretary of State. Jack Kemp, U.S. Representative of New York. Pat Robertson, President Christian Broadcasting Network. Bruce Babbitt, former governor of Arizona, Michael Dukakis, governor of Massachusetts, Richard Gephardt, U.S. Representative, Missouri, Albert Gore, Jr., U.S. Senator of Tennessee, Gary Hart, former U.S. Senator of Colorado, the Reverend Jesse Jackson, Executive Director, Operation Push, and Paul Simon, U.S. Senator from Illinois, and we have Michael Rapp, who is the lead dancer of Chippendales, New York. What do these people have in common? Well, they all are running for president, or they all were running for president this year. First announcement of a presidential hopeful, Michael Rapp for president. He wants what you want. Of the 173,890,000 people of voting age in this country, 91,466,140 are women. 59,452,991 are registered to vote. With these figures in mind, Michael Rapp has decided that he would like to run for the office of President of the United States.
We want Mike.
Yeah.
We want Mike.
He would also like the other 32,013,149 women to register to vote as soon as possible. Michael Rapp is currently the lead dancer at Chippendales in New York City. He has dark brown hair, green eyes, weighs 215 pounds, and stands 6 feet 4 inches
all
tall.
All right.
His intentions,
Mike, President.
His intentions are for a better America. He wants what you want.
He sure does.
Now, let's listen to Michael Rapp on the issues. The economy. Economy is the wise expenditure of money, careful use of materials, and the correct management of the resources of a community. This country has spent $200 billion more than it has garnered. This is either magic, new math, or national management based solidly in opportunistic egocentricity. Probably the latter. The solution is remarkably simple. If you don't have it, don't spend it.
All right.
I never thought of that. On taxes, collect them. On drugs, saying no is not the answer. Annihilating the drug dealers,
is.
We have some drug dealer friends around here?
Legalized drugs.
Reducing the deficit. Reducing the deficit. Reduce it. That's all there is to that. Ending hunger in America. If faced with a short-range missile and a meal, a hungry man will eat the meal. Right. To that end, we should spend what money we've got left on getting food to America's 20 million hungry people, in the hopes that one of them will build a nice big missile. I know. Why not give dollars to the farmers? They will grow food. The food will feed our starving. The starving will get strong and defend and rebuild America with their newfound energy. Screw the Pentagon. Feed the man.
All right.
Ooh.
Mike.
Them's fighting words.
Mike.
Arms control. This is a concept that involves trust. We're in trouble. We should have never built the damn things in the first place. If dismantelization is not a word, it should be.
Wait, let me look. Here, wait. New York Times. Misunderstood, misused, and mispronounced words. I'll
look it up.
Okay. What was that again?
Dismantelation. Well, I don't know if they'll have this word, because is a prefix.
I'll check it out.
Okay. Michael Rapp on the right to work. If faced with a short-range missile and a job, an unemployed man will choose the job. A sensitive voter should sense a theme forming here. Natural environment protection. If we destroy the planet, we'll have no place to walk. So, we should stop destroying the planet. What's the deal on that word?
Very smart. No, it's not in the
Okay, book. Dismantelization is not
no, it's
a
not.
Word, but we can make it a word.
We can.
Child care. Over 7 million children under the age of 13 are left alone while their parents work. There they are, 7 million reasons to create millions of child care jobs. Unemployment will be drastically reduced. Children will regain their right to security.
Hmm.
What do you think? Or just put the kids to work. I mean, that solves both problems, too.
I think it's very good, yeah.
Housing the homeless. If faced with a short-range missile and an apartment, a homeless man will choose the apartment. How about short-range missiles that double as apartments? Wouldn't that be good? No, think of it. A missile that is actually an apartment, when we get into a war, we launch the apartment, and then the first people to die in wars are always the poor people. The poor people are always the first ones to get killed, so this would shorten it or make it much quicker. We put them in the missiles.
Eric, man.
I think this is a great idea.
Yeah.
The homeless need homes. Unless we move them into the Pentagon, defense dollars are not the answer. We need to spend money on the homeless in terms of federally assisted housing. The creation of housing is the creation of more jobs. This is nicely printed up. It looks like it was done on a Macintosh or something.
It sounds so beautiful.
It does.
Is there a picture of
Yes, I believe so. Here he is.
Oh,
doesn't
man.
He look hot? Look at this guy.
How old is he?
He couldn't be more than 30.
He's perfect.
And that leather he's wearing there is symbolizes power, you know? Michael Rapp for president, yeah.
All right.
He'll rhyme more words than Jesse Jackson.
So who for vice president then?
I'm not sure if he's going to even mention
it. Maybe Heather Locklear.
Let's see what else we can. Racism. Okay, this should be good. Racism is frightening in its very existence. The Ku Klux Klan is the most embarrassing element in our national makeup. We should obliterate hatred from our children's learning process. They will live longer. Equal Rights Amendment. Pass it. I mean, what is going on here? Why is there a group of Americans still being forced to demand their rights in writing? Amazing. Just amazing. We need a president that can say amazing, just amazing.
Just amazing, Mike.
Healthcare. To deprive the needy of health care is stupid. We must face these people in this life. We must answer to them in the next. Think about it. The AIDS crisis. We must allocate money for the researchers. We must give hope to the stricken. We must offer education to the uninformed. We must fight the stranger in our midst, the terror of the unknown. We must help each other or we will surely perish in our selfish fear.
Do you think he writes these things?
Space. Yeah, I think he did. And I think this next one will prove that he writes these things.
Oh, okay.
Space. A place from which human beings should be banned if they cannot be nice.
Yeah.
Apartheid. Apartheid will drown in the tears and the blood of the oppressed. What right do the world's governments have to wait for such tortured floodgates to burst open? No right. Apartheid must be stopped. Now. It is 1988. There are no excuses. Only the crime of neglect. Ideas can be transmitted globally in an instant. Let's start the transmission, the talks, the negotiations, the resolutions. Finally, the right to live. Human beings have the right to live. They are, at the moment, in danger of being eaten alive by their governments. Preoccupation with nuclear warheads instead of the future could end life as we know it today. The joys and triumphs of simple day-to-day living are being suffocated by the horrific realities of the bigger picture. the new leaders must come from the ranks of those still in touch with the reality of mankind. The art of life must be painted carefully with patient strokes of the brush, not with terrifying threats of global annihilation. Civilization needs to take deep breaths of relaxation, not be frightened into gasps of horror. To live in peace is the right of the living. Okay, let's play music. There's still harmony there. Michael Rapp, and according to Dance Magazine,
beautiful.
Michael Rapp exudes this completely natural male self-confidence without being cocky or affected. I didn't find him being cocky at all there, or affected. He forces you to look at him.
What male? What does it say? Male confidence.
Completely natural male self-confidence.
Self-confidence.
And he's not cocky or affected. He forces you to look at him. Michael Rapp says, as far as what happens after Chippendales, I've always been the type of person who goes with the flow of life. I believe that what you put out in your life is what you get back. I can only hope that I have put out as much happiness as I have thus far experienced.
Mike.
He was born in Los Angeles, California. Educated at the All Saints Grammar School, Salesian High School, Dons Bach College of Nutrition, and East Los Angeles College. Employment, Jack LaLanne, health instructor, Chippendales, Los Angeles, Chippendales, New York. He married Nancy Kyle Rapp on April 24, 1983. He has two children, Michael, born in 1975, and Beau, born in 1984. His parents are Marianne Rapp and Bill Rapp, and he lives in New York, New York. He became a featured dancer at Chippendales in Los Angeles after studying dance in East Los Angeles College. In 1984, he moved east to open and star at the New York Chippendales. In addition to performing, Michael has been featured on Chippendales calendars and involved in all that institution's promotions for the past 7 years. He has made extensive national television appearances and toured England, Canada, Hawaii, and Hong Kong. And here's a man I think is more than qualified for the lead position in this country. We'll try to focus in on different candidates each week as we count down to Election Day. There's all kinds of people running for president out there. We'll be trying to focus on them in the weeks ahead. Our number is 632-6901. That's right, 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hello, this is the Sports Information Center.
The Sports Information Center, what do you want? I'm glad they wanted that. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hi, this is Dave again.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, I want to know, what was that thing in the beginning with the guy talking and the girl's like, it's not here and stuff?
The guy talking and
the telephone message thing?
The telephone message thing.
And then going, where's the coffee or something?
Oh, we were transferring somebody over to the electronic answering machine we have that,
No, that was Andrew. I mean, the thing before when you said you'll hear about more later.
Oh, you mean this?
There is no coffee that knows German?
No. No.
Yes, that's our mystery.
What is it?
That's our mystery. It's coming up within the next hour, and you'll find out all about it.
You know who that just was before, who just called?
No, well, I have a feeling you probably do.
It's probably Andrew.
Well, that's disappointing to hear, but I don't want to hear if it is or if it isn't. We must get on to other things here. Thanks very much for calling.
All right.
Whoever is playing with the phones here at the radio station, stop it right now. I see what you're doing. They're flashing the lights, trying to make it seem like it's ringing, but it's not. Because you're probably picking them up when people are ringing in, too.
You're making it go like...
Yeah, now that phone is really ringing there. And the second one is trying to catch up with the first one, and it's not succeeding.
Well, they keep hanging up on them.
Actually, no, I think we have two calls there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, this is Andrew.
Hi, Andrew. This is your last call tonight, right?
No, this is... Just wait a second. Can you tell us, like, that mystery thing? Because I need to watch Saturday Night Live.
Well, we'll have it on before 11:30.
Okay, thanks.
Fair enough. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Was that really that candidate's testimonial thing?
Yeah. What'd you think of it?
Now,
what was the quote about space?
Can I find space in there?
Yeah, sure, no problem. Space. A place from which human beings should be banned if they cannot be nice.
Be nice.
Be nice.
I can hardly hear you.
Is that Michael Rapp has had...
Are we going to delay?
What, you're having trouble hearing her?
No, oh yeah, definitely.
Well, let's see, why don't you...
So much more audible.
Let's just move the mic over there, and if you could sort of speak in this direction, and that way I'll get this box out of the way of the phone, and we should be able to hear it. Try talking now.
Okay, can you hear me?
Can you hear her now?
Yeah, much better.
Is that better?
Okay.
That's great.
Worst comes to worst, just hold the radio up to your ear.
So Michael Rapp has had two children here now, but he had one in 1975.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, the spacing of the children. There's a very large gap there.
He married Nancy Kyle in 1983.
Wait a minute.
The woman's name.
Wait a minute. You mean he has a child from 1975, but he got married in 1983?
Yes.
Ooh.
He's out. He's out.
He's out.
It's over with. And Bo, his second son, came
mere
moments after he was married.
Bo is a boy's name? I thought Bo was a girl's name.
Bo is a girl's
name.
It's a boy's name.
Well, I didn't know that.
It
looks like a girl's name.
Hey, let's not.
I mean, B-E-A-U looks
let's
like a girl's name.
Let's not confine ourselves here, okay? That could be a girl's name.
We don't know if it's male or female.
We don't. It wasn't made clear to us.
But boy, Michael Rapp. For president. All right. Space.
He's
going to
win
because a place someone should go if they can't be nice.
Nation.
Space.
He'll definitely win because women have been found to vote towards preferable to, whatever looks good.
Oh, come on. Everyone votes to whatever looks good.
Well,
not
now, I should give out the address here. He's got four contact people. It's incredible. I've never seen so many contact people.
Contact these people?
Judy Jacksina, Julianne Waldhem. Not Waldheim, Waldhem. Craig Dawson and Terry Gotti. you can contact this campaign by calling 212-921-7979 or writing to the Jacksina Company, 1501 Broadway, Suite 1501. That's nice. New York, New York, 10036.
Great.
Yes.
Tomorrow.
If you know anybody who's running for president, please send the information to us. We'll get the information out to everybody.
It's a good idea to do it. I bet you there's more candidates that we haven't heard of.
There are quite a few. In fact, in 1984, when we had the presidential convention here, there were 209 people running for president.
Oh, wow.
And we invited all of them out here to Stony Brook, and about two dozen showed up.
Was that the time when we had protests and, what's his name, Barry or somebody local who was anti-nuclear ran?
Uh-huh.
Barry Gold? No, what was his name?
Barry Commoner?
Yeah, him.
Yeah,
I think, was he running that year? I think he was running in 1980.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think he might have also run in 1984. It's possible. And he might also be running in 1988. I don't know.
Hmm.
It's hard to say. All right, well, thanks so much for calling.
Really, you're having a good show. I never called before. What
town are you in?
Actually, Hicksville.
Hicksville?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're picking us up in Hicksville?
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, well, thanks very much for calling.
Okay, thanks.
It's good to get picked up in Nassau, I always say.
Yeah, I reckon.
Why are you looking at me like that? Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yes, I'm calling about the statement that the woman made earlier that everyone votes for the better
woman. Now, listen to me here. Now, what if Heather Locklear and Margaret Thatcher were running for president? Now, who do you think the majority of males would vote for? Our presidential elections, all our elections in this country, are media-based. It's not what people say. It's what they look like. It's what they can project.
Well, you're projecting the average person is going to vote, but the average person doesn't vote.
That's true. The average person does not vote. Okay.
Now, we're talking about...
Well, what this man said is that every woman...
Heather Locklear and Margaret Thatcher... If I wanted a prime minister, I'd vote Thatcher. If I wanted to go out or stay in, I'd vote Heather Locklear. And that's, there are a lot of stupid males out there. Most of them are probably out in the college somewhere or something like that. But I don't vote for people because of their looks.
Well, I'm glad.
Nixon.
Yeah, that's a case in point right there.
Okay.
How could he have won?
Look at Ford. Well, he wasn't really elected, but he
that's
was...
That's true. He was never elected.
Bolts in his neck, he'd look like the Frankenstein monster. And Jimmy Carter, he came in, he didn't look too bad coming in. On the way out, he looked like hell.
Yeah, that's true. He aged about 10 years in those
okay,
years.
So maybe we might not say looks, per se, but it's how one projects himself.
Well, that's the media's problem.
Is that the media's problem? Maybe it's the nation's problem. It's the people, it's the citizens' problem for being subjected to that. To paying attention to that.
The only way the citizen can do anything They don't have any more guns left.
Who doesn't have any more guns left?
Not enough. Let's say not enough.
Who doesn't?
Or enough brass.
Oh. You're speaking symbolically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll leave it at that then. What town are you calling from?
I'm out in Northport.
Northport. Okay, well, good town there.
Yes.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
No brass up.
Bye-bye. Yes, Northport, Hicksville, Holtsville, Stony Brook, and all over the island. Give us a call, 632-6901. We're going to go into one of our mini features here, and we will be solving or going into the mystery a little later on. We also will have a radio first coming your way, oh, very shortly. So stay right where you are. Brain damage here on WUSB Stony Brook.
Thank you for calling U.S. Sprint. This is Jan speaking. May I have your area code and your telephone number, please?
Yes. The area code is 302.
And the phone number?
Oh, yes. 129.
129 is the area code?
4720.
And the phone number is?
129-4720.
Okay. Is that your home or your business?
Oh, that's a home.
Okay. Now, the prefix you told me is 129 or 429?
129.
Okay, there's no such prefix.
I beg to differ.
Okay, the phone number, I want to make sure I'm getting it right. It's 302-129-4720.
Yes.
Our computers say there's no such a prefix for that.
I don't understand.
The prefix is the first three numbers of the phone number.
It's 302.
Right, that's your area code.
Right, that's the first three digits.
Right, and the first three digits is your phone number. Your home, like if you're giving...
Read it. Can you read it back to me, please?
Yeah, I've got 302
uh-huh.
Is the area code. 129-4720.
That's my number.
That's your number.
Yes.
I've just never seen a number, a phone number that starts with a 1 before.
No, it starts with a 3.
329?
No. 302.
Uh-huh.
129-4720.
Well, I understand the area code is 302 in your area code, okay?
Well, no, in my area code, you don't have to dial the 302. You only have to dial that if you're calling from out of the area code.
Right. What I'm talking about, see, my computer's not taking the phone number. It says it's the wrong prefix. The prefix is what I'm talking about, the first three digits of your home phone number. Not the area code, the phone number.
Like 130?
Okay, like the area code I know is 302. That's
right.
Your area code for your area.
Okay.
But the first three numbers you gave me is 129.
Oh, well, aren't the first three digits 130 if you're calling from out of state because you have to dial 1, then you dial 302-129. And so wouldn't the first three digits are 130 then?
Okay, you never, with us, we don't need the 1. All I need is, okay, I understand it's 302.
Okay, 302.
Uh-huh.
129. 4720.
Okay, it's the problem my computer's having is the 129. It's saying that it's not a tape. That's not a correct table. That there's no that table's not existing.
Table?
The table. That's what our computer calls it. The prefix.
Prefix?
I want to put you on hold for just a second. I want to see if I can. What area are you in?
What was that area code 302?
Uh huh. Okay. What state? What city and state are you in?
I don't know.
You don't know where you're at? Are you trying to dial a number out? Are you trying to use your phone card?
Yes.
Oh, heavens to Betsy. That's why I'm sorry. We're having such confusion here. The reason why you got the sales department, you must have accidentally misdialed by one number. And you got us. Let me release you and you'll be able to make that call. I'm sorry.
Wait, what number should I be calling?
Okay, just call the number like you should be 1-800-877-8000.
And what did I dial?
You probably dialed 1-800-877-7000.
No, I dialed 1-800-521-4646.
You got customers. You didn't. Okay, some long across the line. I don't know how, but you got sales instead of customer service.
Wait, I'm trying to order the phone card. I don't own a phone card. I'd like to buy one, if that's possible.
Okay, what I need is your home phone number then.
Okay. 302
uh-huh.
129 4720.
Okay, the 129 is not an existing table. That is not an existing, there is no such of a prefix. And the 302 area code.
Well, I'm in Delaware.
You're in Delaware. Okay, let me put you on hold. Let me get my supervisor, okay?
Okay.
Okay, sir, I'm going to have to try it another way because my computer will not take your area, your phone number. But you're requiring a phone card?
Yes.
Okay, I need your name.
My name?
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't want the phone card under my name. I want it under my wife's name.
Okay. What's her name?
You'd have to ask her. I don't know if she wants me just going up and giving people her name. That's why I was giving you the phone number.
Sir, I can't, it will not tell me what her name is or anything else on my computer. You have to give me that information if you want the service.
Well,
did you know that you called U.S. Sprint?
This is U.S. Sprint.
Yes, sir, it is.
Right. I'd like to get a phone card.
That's fine, sir. I'll be glad to do that, but I need your name and your phone and your address so I can get it for you.
My name and address?
Yes, sir.
I thought you wanted my phone number.
Well, sir, that's the way we bill it to you, is through your phone number.
So, my phone number is 302
129 4720. Right. Okay, now I need your name and your address so we can get you the card.
Well,
can bill it to you.
Can I give you my wife's name?
That's fine. If you'd like to have it in her name and mail to her, that's fine.
Beatrice.
Mm-hmm.
Boop. B-O-O-P.
Okay.
142.
Mm-hmm.
Avenue Z.
Okay.
That's the address.
Okay. I need the city and the state.
I live in Delaware.
Fine, sir. I need your city.
The capital.
Sir, I need you to tell me the city. I don't know all the capitals of every state.
Really? I bet you I can say the capitals of every state in less than a minute. You want to hear me?
Sir, I am a salesperson. I am trying to help you. I do not want to hear all the capitals in the United States, but I'd like the capital of Delaware if you'd like the phone card. If not,
the capital of Delaware for $50! Excuse me.
Sir, if you're going to continue talking like this, I will have to release you.
To whom?
Sir, if you do not want the service, I will have to release you.
To whom?
To air. So I'm going to let you go now, okay?
Okay, I'll let you go.
Thank you.
Have a nice day.
People realize it, but at this very second, all the time, 24 hours a day, there's people out there confusing people. It's horrible, but there seems to be a confusion epidemic. Confusing operators, confusing policemen, confusing teachers, confusing your own dog. I mean, I've seen it get down to that level. Confusing, yeah. It's not a pretty thing. That's why we expose it here in USB. Expose it for what it is. And that is the music from Palakazi. Terrific film that came out a couple of weeks ago and I believe has just migrated to Long Island. If you see it in your neighborhood, go out and see it. You'll never look at a human being in the same way again.
Ah, yes. Well, we have a news story. Earlier today, a spokesman for Jesse Jackson's presidential campaign told reporters that Jackson had been hospitalized in San Francisco, possibly for a stomach ailment. But Jackson denies that and has said in a speech in Los Angeles that his health is fantastic. No, sorry, it's wrong. It says fantastic here. Okay, well, that's Jesse for you. Fantastic, yes. Back in San Francisco, a spokes... creative speech, I call it. Back in San Francisco, a spokeswoman at a hospital is saying that a man named Jesse Jackson was admitted to the hospital last night. But she says it was a different Jesse Jackson.
Is there another Jesse
Jackson? There are two Jesse Jacksons in the world. It's too bad we don't have the name of the hospital. We'd call them up and ask to speak to them, because I bet we could get an interview with that Jesse Jackson.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it makes sense that if there was a Jesse Jackson at a hospital in San Francisco, that he would live in San Francisco, right? Is that a valid assumption?
I would think so.
Okay, well, using that logic, let's see if he has a listing. Is this genius or what? We're bringing information in San Francisco. Where apparently they're out to lunch or something. It's 8 o'clock, 8:03 in San Francisco right now. 11:03 here in Stony Brook.
See, what city, please?
In San Francisco.
Yes?
We're looking for the last name Jackson, the first name J-E-S-S-E, Jesse.
He has a residence there?
It should be a residence, yeah. Possibly might be in Oakland.
Okay, I don't show any in San Francisco. Hold on.
Now checking Oakland.
This is a guy or a lady?
It should be a guy.
Okay.
I didn't know they had that distinction in phone books.
No, I don't show it there. I'll look around real quick. Hold on.
Okay. Check underneath some chairs and stuff in the office.
Okay, I show Jesse in Dublin.
How far is that from San Francisco?
It's about 30 miles.
So there's Jesse Jackson in that town. Okay, give me that one then.
Well, I show a couple in Richmond, too.
A couple of Jesse? How many Jessies are there out there?
There's a bunch.
A whole bunch, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Richmond's
a little closer to San Francisco.
So would you say there's at least three?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Give me... Gee, the one that you think is closest to San Francisco, I guess.
That would be Richmond for sure.
Okay, Richmond for sure, then. This is Richmond for sure.
I love California.
Let's see, where'd it go? Okay, here it is.
Here comes a recording.
Actually, you know, I have two of them in Richmond. I have a Jesse J. Jr. and a Jesse B.
Oh, boy.
Well, one of them is J-E-S-E, and the other one is J-E-S-S-I-E.
The J-E-S-S-E is the one we're looking for.
Okay.
Thank you for calling. The number is 223.
And that's all you're going to hear, because we don't want to be harassing a strange Jesse Jackson in San Francisco at all hours of the night. But how about that? A bunch of Jesse Jacksons out there.
Oh, man.
So that's where they're hiding. I knew there was a bunch of Jesse Jacksons around somewhere. That's great.
You're excited about
this. Well, it's interesting to know. I found out where they come from.
Where
the Jessies of the world come from?
Don't, from Richmond, California.
Don't you know that people are bred in a certain way so that they can take over the world?
No.
There's a Ronald Reagan colony, a farm colony. Also in California, I might add. But no one's been able to find it. I just found the Jesse Jackson cloning colony.
Oh, bravo.
I think it's incredible.
Bravo.
Well, enough said about that.
Let's talk about these.
We have a radio first coming up fairly soon. Now, Lauren, you came in here tonight with the specific intention of doing something that would probably shock most people that know you, and would probably certainly raise a few eyebrows of those who don't know you.
I think so.
You have been living a certain type of a lifestyle. And tonight on this very radio program, Brain Damage, Saturday evenings 10 to 12, you are going to throw
logic and sense to the wind and just change the way you do things.
I am.
Now,
I am,
do you want to
I'm
be...
concerned.
You're concerned,
I'm concerned, and the reason why I'm on the radio is because I want the advice of USB listeners. The audience,
yeah,
the world.
Advice of USB listeners, the advice of PKN
I
listeners that may have misdialed a little bit.
PKN, Hicksville, where were we? Nassau County. The advice.
Or people are just wandering around the department stores. I know there's department stores that play USB loudly and people complain about it.
I think there's about two.
Are there really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and if you're in one of those department stores or in a taxi cab where somebody is playing it and you keep telling them to turn it off but they don't, give us a call. Pull over to the next payphone or find a phone somewhere and call us, 632-6901. Give Lauren your advice. However, I don't
Please.
Think... there are people calling already, but I don't see how they would know what advice to give you since you haven't told them anything yet.
Astrologers.
Maybe they're astrologers that are just going to be cosmic about the whole thing.
They,
now, do you want to go into more detail?
Should I?
I think it would be
okay.
good to sort of get this off, you know.
I am craving meat.
Now, perhaps I should
meat.
Mention at this point...
red meat.
Well, cooked, I assume.
Sure, cooked.
Now, a lot of people can say that, can go through a day and say, I really like the taste of meat. However, the problem we have here is that Lauren is a vegetarian. She has been a vegetarian for how long?
For approximately a year now.
A year. She has been a vegetarian for a year. And... tonight on this program, she wants to break. Now, there's a package here that is here at the station, and what is in here is something that would certainly make you not be a vegetarian anymore. So you look inside, the odor just sort of goes up into the air.
Oh.
We have a McDonald's Big Mac here. Now, Lauren has every intention of going through
away.
With this.
Stay away.
Now, how do you feel right now? You must must be like a war going on inside your head.
I'm confused. There's a conflict. I can't function anymore. I woke up this morning. I've been craving meat. I want to know. What I want to know is why. Why am I craving meat? Fellow vegetarians, what am I doing wrong? Am I eating incorrectly?
Well, have you woken up craving meat before? Or is this the first day it's happened?
It's been sort of... I felt it kind of strange for the past couple of days, and... I don't want to break my vegetarianism. I enjoy it, but I must be doing something wrong. If I'm craving this meat, I must be doing something wrong. Don't you think?
Well, you know...
Well, you're not a vegetarian. You eat, what, fluff and peanut butter on a regular...
Well, fluff is not a meat product, I should point out.
That's right.
Fluff is... It's quite acceptable by vegetarian standards.
That's correct.
As is plastic and cardboard and things like that.
Yeah.
But craving meat is something that it's a serious matter for a vegetarian, especially one that has a Big Mac sitting next to them.
I'm wondering whether this is what I want to know from vegetarians out there. Am I doing something wrong? Does this happen to all vegetarians? Is it a phase I'm going through, a phase that I just need some support and some help to get through? Please call up the Big Mac. It seems to be getting closer for some strange reason. It's getting larger.
It is. They do that, don't you know that?
Someone.
You haven't had one for a while.
Someone in an extremely long time.
They do get bigger. They get... now, this one's been sitting around for a while.
I haven't seen one in years, I think.
We haven't actually opened it yet. It's here in the bag. We know that McDonald's is a proud partner in the Olympic Dream and the sponsor of the 1988 U.S. Olympic team and their registered trademark and all that kind of thing. Some napkins here. And let's just get... Hey, look at that. It's a French fry.
Eric, I wanted to get the advice.
Yeah, take a French fry. That won't hurt.
Oh, all right. It's probably fried and something.
It's really cold, though.
Oh, did you eat the French fries?
This is 100% pure American beef. In case you're having any...
Here, now, okay, we're
nationalistic feelings.
Pure American beef. The reason why I became a vegetarian is because of the way animals are raised. Okay, American beef.
No morals whatsoever.
Calves, turkeys, chicken. It's horrible what they do to these animals. It's horrible what they shoot into these animals.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. And this is the reason why I became a vegetarian. I just cannot agree with that at all.
Well, I think that's the reason most people become vegetarians, for moralistic reasons.
Moralistic, yes. Health reasons, too.
Well, let's appeal to our listeners.
Why am I craving meat?
Should Lauren take the big bite tonight and plunge into the world of meat eaters once more. This is perhaps an historic moment here, because those of us who know her know, you know, that well, you take these things pretty seriously.
Yes, I do, Eric.
And this, you know, if you feel you've made the wrong decision, you could actually be miserable for quite a while to come.
Yes, I could.
However, if you're making the right decision, it could make you much more cheerful.
Okay.
So
okay, let's hear from our listeners here.
It's a big responsibility giving people advice, but that's what we'd like our listeners to do at this point. Give us a call, 632-6901, area code 516-632-6901. If you have advice, experiences, any kind of words of wisdom to offer, please give us a call. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Good evening. Lauren, please don't eat the Big Mac.
Don't eat the Big Mac.
Ironically, I started dialing way before I knew what your question was.
Uh-huh.
And
the stars.
I happened to be wise in the subject. I was a vegan for 6 years.
Oh.
Pure veganism is like you don't consume anything of animal origin, for anyone who doesn't know.
Okay, now say that word again.
Vegan. V-E-G-A-N.
Okay. All right, V-E-G-A-N. I've never heard that.
It's someone who, basically, the whole thing is you do not consume anything of animal origin.
Right, right. So you've been doing this for 6 years.
Well, I did it for 6 years.
You did it for 6 years.
Oh yeah, I'm not doing it anymore.
So you now eat meat.
Well, let's not. Okay, breakdown of meat.
Okay, yes, that's something we have to do. Some people say, well, I only eat fish, or I only eat chicken. I don't eat red meat. What do you eat?
I rarely eat red meat. I eat chicken and fish because of their leanness.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you
and
know?
And for the health reasons, and for the. Okay.
You're doing it for health reasons more than moral reasons. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, because, I mean, fish are treated abysmally. No one ever pets a fish or talks nicely to a fish. They just catch the things. You know, I used to go fishing when I was a kid. And it was fun, but I always, you know, wondered why we treated these poor creatures so horribly. You throw them into a basket and they just sort of flop around there. I mean, you know, you don't treat your dog that way. You don't treat other animals that way. Fish, though, for some reason, people don't care a whole lot about them.
Right.
We don't.
Yeah, because a lot of people would ask me. You get a million questions when you try to explain this living habit.
Uh-huh.
You're in, and people just don't understand. They ask thousands of questions, and you get into a conversation, and they're like, "Well, fish aren't an animal." I said, "Well, yeah, of course they are."
Yeah, people do say that, and I can't understand that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, microbes, they're animals.
Now, as far as health reasons are concerned, we do shoot chickens up with various chemicals and drugs. We actually grow animals, produce these animals in the most unnatural way. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm wondering why you're eating meat now.
Why I eat meat?
Yeah.
Because of necessity. Of lifestyle necessity.
Uh-huh.
It has to change. Because to be a pure vegan, you had to watch your protein complement so closely.
Here we go.
All the amino acids were completely complemented. Or, you know, you get imbalances all over the place.
This is it. I think I'm suffering an imbalance. Why would I be craving this red meat? Obviously, I am suffering an imbalance of some sort.
Okay, you've only been a vegetarian for, a year and a half or something like that?
A year.
Lauren, hello?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can.
Okay. I've only been a vegetarian for a year.
Okay, a year. It's a short period of time.
Okay, so obviously my body cannot adjust or something's going wrong.
What's a kind of a basic breakdown of your diet?
Okay, I'll eat beans, I'll eat rice, see what else. Things like tofu, although that's getting so boring, I've had absolutely enough.
Tofu can be so exciting, though, depending on what you do with it.
All sorts of things with tofu.
Oh, I'm bored to tears. I've done everything with tofu. Trust me. I can write a book. And
have it peanut butter and tofu? Have you even explored that? Honey and tofu?
No, Eric, I haven't.
Ooh, no, Eric,
tofu
that's interesting.
And raw eggs?
No. No,
raw
not
eggs
a rocky
should be because
here.
Of, what is it, semolina or whatever it is?
Yeah, but it adds excitement.
Okay. Now, I basically feel as though I'm eating healthy. Obviously, I'm not, because I'm feeling kind of tired lately, and I am craving this red meat. So there must be something wrong.
Now, we are going
to... Now, vegan, I learned something new today. I feel very good about that.
What you are going to hear now is the sound of the box of the Big Mac being opened. I'm holding the box in my hand.
What's your name, by the way?
My name is Mark.
Mark, where are you calling from, Mark?
Hicksville.
Wait, did you call before?
Yeah.
You were right.
Yeah, okay.
I'm curious, how is the signal coming in Hicksville? Is it a good, strong signal?
I
have it rigged up differently.
That's great, because usually we don't get into Hicksville that well. But now I am opening up the box, and as there is a Big Mac in there.
Oh,
you
Lord.
See the sesame seed bun there. It looks like somebody stuck their finger in it, though. I don't know why that is. Lettuce. There's the lettuce, all right. Kind of greenish, kind of brown, too. There's a whole lot of bread in there, and a couple other things I can't quite identify. Yeah. But there's the meat. It's not exactly red, but it is definitely meatish.
It looks somewhat appetizing. I'm surprised.
Well, that's because you're over there, and I'm the one.
Yeah, okay. You're actually.
And when you bring it closer,
right.
You'll see what it really looks like. Let's take some more calls. Thank you for calling, sir.
Okay, great. Thanks.
632-6901. We are approaching a rather historic and I might add a dramatic moment where another vegetarian is going to stop being a vegetarian. I mean, it's something that we should think about. And I know that USB listeners are conscientious people that take a dim view of things amoral that this could possibly be interpreted as, you know.
You
might be becoming amoral by doing this, or immoral. I don't know what the difference is between those two words.
We have a dictionary. I don't know.
Give us your advice. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
I would tell Laura not to sweat it.
Don't sweat it.
Let's
face it, once you take out the filler and you extend it, it really isn't any meat left in that Big Mac. As far as the cheese, even if you were against eating dairy products, I mean, all they do with the cheese is drive it through the development that used to be Cresty Farms. if you've ever been in the back of a McDonald's or Burger King, I can't really speak for McDonald's. I only work for Burger King.
You work for Burger King. Now, where does Burger King get the majority of their meat from? Do you know?
It's not 12 o'clock yet. We shouldn't really... Well, okay, keep it clean.
Let's put it this way. My job was to open the place up in the morning. That's before they started serving breakfast. We didn't open until 11.
Okay.
And you always knew what condition the meat was in by how fast the packers were loading it into the fridge. If they were booking fast, getting those boxes piled in there as quickly as they could, you knew that when you opened that first box, it was going to be some lighter shade of green.
Oh, man.
Yeah, more we talk about this, the more pungent the odor is getting, and we're going to have to reach a decision fairly soon here because I don't want this thing in the room much longer.
I'm curious whether they get their meat from farms all over the country or some third world nation. Who do they exploit? How do they treat their animals?
Have you ever wondered what was happening to all the homeless people?
Sure, fairly often.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
Thank
well, you
very
know,
much.
If nothing else, Lauren,
you
will
vegan.
Be...
That's what I am now after that
by
statement.
The way,
thank you very
error,
much.
There was an error in the last phone call.
Was there?
An error in the last... What?
It's not semolina poisoning, it's salmonella poisoning. Semolina poisoning is when you have this overwhelming urge to throw yourself in front of a harvester truck.
Ah. Semolina, huh? I didn't even catch that.
That
I'm sorry.
Was great. I didn't know he said poison. I thought he was talking about semolina flour or something. I wasn't really sure. But thanks for clarifying that.
Thanks for calling, sir.
Thank you.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, so far we have one sort of pro and one sort of anti.
One, don't sweat it. I kind of, that's...
We still have a few minutes before we make a decision here. So give us a call, 632-6901. And while you're rushing to the phones, let's go into a little feature that we've prepared for this this precise occasion on... Lauren breaking her vegetarian vows and diving into a Big Mac. Let's just see what's in a Big Mac.
McDonald's, may I help you?
Yeah, hi, I'm sorry to bother you. Now, I'm on a special diet, so I can't have some foods, but I wanted to taste a McDonald's for a while now. Could you possibly tell me what exactly goes into a Big Mac?
Okay, on a Big Mac, it has the beef, the hamburger meat, right?
Uh-huh.
And it has a special sauce. It has a special sauce with onions and lettuce and two pickles and a slice of cheese.
Now, do you know what the special sauce consists of?
Could you hold on for 1 second?
Yeah.
Okay. Hello?
Okay, yeah, I can hold on.
All right.
Oh, hi. You want to know what's
potato.
Well, no, wait, that ain't got
no potato. No, there's no potato. Each day they bring a customer from here.
That's
no, you can't do that?
That's not required information for us to be given out to people.
Right.
That's big feeding. That's no.
Alright.
You can't get that information. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing.
He said he's on a special diet.
Oh, well, wait, what can't, why don't you ask him what he can't eat, and if it's there, then that's how we'll do it. That's
okay.
Right?
Hello, what can you not eat?
Well, I'm supposed to have low sodium foods with not a lot of salt.
Uh-huh.
And I can't have things with iodine.
Uh-huh.
Or glycerin.
Uh-huh.
Or hypoglycerates.
Hypoglycerates?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you can have a Big Mac then.
Oh, okay. And what type of cheese is that?
American cheese.
American cheese. Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, reveal just about everything that's in there. And while they were listing off the ingredients there, I did open up the bun here, and there were two slices of pickles. Can you imagine putting two pickles underneath a hamburger bun?
I wonder why McDonald's is not required to give this information.
I don't know if you caught the conversation going on in the background, but that was
required.
Pretty amazing. Find out what he can't eat, and we'll do it that way.
There must be a whole hill of stuff in there.
So, they recommended. So if you count that as a vote...
What do you mean they recommend?
Well, McDonald's says that you can have a Big Mac if you have a special diet type of a thing. If you're concerned about your health.
Triglycerides? What did he say?
Whatever those things were, they don't seem to be any of those in there. At least that's what they say.
Okay, so if you're allergic to these bizarre chemicals, you can eat a Big Mac.
Now, to add to the drama of this, we're going to say in about 3 minutes. 3 minutes, Lauren will make a decision. So if you want to call up and add your piece, 632-6901 is our phone number.
Tell me, why am I craving meat? Tell me this. Vegetarians out there.
See if it makes that much of a difference. I mean, I don't really think it makes that much of a difference. Just eat a Big Mac. I mean,
wait,
you know, you're
I
not
believe
gonna
there's
be...
a vegetarian in the studio, another vegetarian.
Where?
A comrade.
Vegetarian.
Would you like to tell me why I'm craving meat?
Well, I have this theory that the object of eating is, or the object of your diet is to try to eat what your body needs. And am I saying this correctly?
We're not sure yet.
So, I think that, like all these newfangled diets, I'm trying to figure out where to begin here. All these newfangled diets, what you really want to get down to in your diet is a set diet where you can eat what your body needs, and your body can tell you that, where you're so in tune with what your body is feeling, what your body needs, that when you crave something, you know that you're craving it because your body needs it.
My body probably needs
I think your body needs
protein.
You haven't been getting enough protein.
Exactly.
It's so hard to be a vegetarian in our society, and I don't think that most vegetarians get enough protein.
Well, thank you very much. What's your name?
Ken.
Ken, thank you, Ken. I believe that too. I really do. Obviously,
does
something
it affect
is
your decision at all, or your thoughts?
You said Big Mac.
Well, thank you, Ken.
It's quite
I'm
a sight, folks.
Going
we,
home
we,
and maybe
we have to describe
beans.
The scene here. Lauren is sitting here with a look of real anxiety on her face, and between myself and her is a Big Mac. The carton is open, and there's a little Big Mac sitting here just waiting.
And Ken's in the corner.
Waiting to see which person's going to end up with.
The quote-unquote cheerleader for the consumption of the Big Mac.
So,
I remember my first Whopper after this.
Oh, he remembers his first Whopper.
You know, I remember...
What happened?
I remember my first double Whopper. Now, not many people know that you can get a double Whopper.
It's a touching conversation.
It's not on the menu anywhere. But
what about a double cheeseburger?
If you walk into a Burger King and ask for a double Whopper with cheese, you can get it. And you can get all kinds of other things, too.
But
double Whopper with semi-cheese and cheese with more lettuce and, you know, all kinds of things like that.
Ken, how did you feel
they can
after
remove
the
sesames from the bun?
I think this is interesting, Eric. Ken... How did you feel after you ate?
Well, you can feel the meat in your stomach.
You can.
Yes, you can feel it digesting, and you can feel it for quite a number of hours after you eat it.
Huh. Is it a good feeling? Is it a bad feeling?
Well, you can actually
sort of subjective.
The power of the beef.
The power of the beef.
Yes, as it's digesting.
Folks, we have less than a minute before Lauren makes a decision. If you want to call and offer your words of advice, 632-6901, area code 516. If you're driving, you're really going to have to cut somebody off and make the call now. 632-6901, area code 516. If you care about vegetarianism or non-vegetarianism, or if this seems like an important issue to you, I mean, it is the most important thing going on this campus right now, I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
Because the campus is deserted, you know, no one else is here except us. But,
absolutely.
632-6901, area code 516. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
My last comment is, most people should read less, Food for Small Planet, Diet for Small Planet.
Yeah, who wrote that? That was,
I forget her name. How food is grown.
Francis Lappe, right?
Well, what about that? Sorry?
What Lauren had mentioned before.
Yeah.
Food was like processed and grown.
Right.
Uh-huh. To be consumed.
Mm-hmm.
It's grown to proportion. It's unnecessary. It's not needed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
okay.
Like more or less fed on to us.
Okay.
Okay. I think I know where you're coming from. Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Calling. Well, Lauren, the moment is here. And so is the Big Mac. Now, you're going to have to make a decision. It's 11:28. And we still, before Laura makes the decision, one more time to promote our mystery for tonight.
There is no coffee that knows German?
No. No.
You'll find out what it means.
No one.
It's quite a story, and we'll be launching into that very soon. But first, let's figure out what's going on here with the Big Mac.
Remember what Oscar Wilde said?
What did Oscar Wilde say?
The easiest way to get rid of a temptation is to fall into it.
Is to what it?
To fall into it.
To fall into it.
Because
Ken, I feel
I
feel weak. I feel as though I'm really letting down. A way of life, a way of life I've stuck to for a whole entire year.
But think of it this way. If you do bite into this Big Mac here tonight, you'll always remember it. It's a moment of your life you're always going to remember. And a lot of people that are listening now will remember the night that Lauren stopped being a vegetarian, at least for a little while. Otherwise, people are just going to remember the night that Lauren thought she might not be a vegetarian anymore, but then decided she would be again. And that sounds wishy-washy. The other sounds like you're taking a step forward, and
but I
it
have,
could be a wrong step.
I have my ideals to stand up to here tonight, and I can picture. I'm looking at the hamburger, and I'm picturing a calf in a small cage. Hasn't walked since the day it was born.
Oh my God!
Since the day it was born, and it is going to be slaughtered. It can't even walk. It doesn't know how to. It hasn't moved since the day it was born, okay? I can't do it, Eric. Eric, I can't do it now. What I can do, though, is tomorrow research what I'm doing wrong with my diet and suffer for a week or so, but research and get back into it, get on track with my vegetarianism. But boy, that Big Mac looks real good.
So?
It looks real good. Ken, would you like a Big Mac?
But if you eat that, if you say you're tired now, it's going to drain a lot of energy out of you. It takes a lot of energy to digest meat. I tell you, I was a vegetarian for a year and a half, and then I started eating just a little bit of meat, and then I was a vegetarian. I was a vegetarian for 8 months, okay? For 8 or 9 months, and then one day, somebody gave me some veal.
You couldn't have a piece of chicken there, Ken. You couldn't. Aw, man. You couldn't have a steakum. You couldn't have thrown a steakum in there. That's not real meat. Some veal.
I've just been handed a photograph. Looks like a picture of a beagle. It says, days after this photo was taken, this pooch was battered and deep fried in a wok full of sesame oil. Where did this come from? What have we here? Looks like something from an album.
It's a
deep wound 7-inch. Deep wound 7-inch? That's a deep wound, all right. All right, Lauren, so the answer is no, huh?
I'm sorry.
Let's close up this poor Big Mac.
Thank you.
We'll feed this to a dog or something.
Are you doing this because of your pride? Because you're, like you said, you have this ego that says,
yes,
I have to stick
Ken,
to this.
Yes.
Is that the best way to make a decision?
Yes, really? Ken, it is.
Isn't it better to do what's best for your health if your body craves something?
But is a Big Mac the best for Lauren's health? I'm not too sure about that. I'm not too sure.
Well, you heard it here,
folks. I feel strong, Eric.
Lauren's been reawakened.
And, I'm reborn.
Her values have been reset, so...
I'm born again.
Big Mac must find another place to go.
I don't run for president. Me and Mike.
Okay, we'll feature you next week, then.
Me and Mike, thank
you. Come up with a nice press release like Mike Rapp here.
All right.
Okay, we are going to go into our mystery then. Let's hear some more music from Paula Kotze. We'll take some more phone calls later. Now, Phil Glass didn't really have a boat horn in there. We threw that in. It's 11:34, 26 minutes to midnight here on WUSB in Stony Brook. The program is Brain Damage. And, we've accomplished a lot so far tonight. We've looked at a weird vice president, or actually a weird presidential candidate. We found a whole herd of Jesse Jacksons, and we've rejected a Big Mac. Well, yeah, I'm going to take this Big Mac. I don't mind. I don't really mind. As long as I don't have to look at it. But now we're going to go into the mystery that we were promoting all night long. And you'll find out the tragic story of the coffee and the restrooms and all this kind of stuff that doesn't appear to make any sense. But it will become clear to you in just a moment.
Is there an AT&T coffee who knows German?
You need to call to Germany?
Is there an AT&T coffee who knows German?
One moment. No, sir. Nobody here speaks German. Only English and little Spanish.
I know little English.
You know a little English?
I'd like to make a restroom to California.
Do you know the number?
Yes, but not joint. Joint. 292 5 1 Vive.
Where are you calling? California? What part of California? What city?
Palunsta.
Palunsta, California? Palo Alto?
Yes.
Okay.
Restroom.
Restroom?
Yes.
You're calling to a restroom?
No. A restroom call.
A restroom call? I don't...
A restroom.
You want to pay for the call here? You want to call collect? You want the people you're calling to?
Yes, collect. Restroom.
Collect. Okay. Moment. I have to get area code.
Restroom is not English word?
The restroom is bathroom here.
Oh, I got you. I make jokes.
Who do you want to speak to?
Sprinkle. Yeah.
Let me see. You don't have the area code?
No.
You don't have the area code?
292.
292, that's the number.
Oh.
You need an area code before that. Okay. It's in Palo Alto, A-L-T-O?
A-L-T-O. Hey, yeah.
Okay, that area code is 415.
Four.
But there's no 292. There's no 292 in that area. Do you understand?
No. There is no coffee that knows German?
No. No. No one.
Okay, thank you mostly.
You're welcome, I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you mostly.
As they sail off into the distance, we're back here in Brain Damage at 20 minutes to 12 o'clock. And we are confusing operators tonight, aren't we?
We are.
Oh, but it's so much fun.
Thank you mostly.
Thank you mostly, yes. Well, now, thank you mostly to the person that got in touch with us and told us the secret behind the White House press service. It seems that the White House press service is there, but they're being elusive. And what we're going to try to do now is catch them again. Let's see, how do we do this? We're going to pick up the phone and dial the number. And it should ring and not pick up. Although it'll probably pick up now, just to prove me wrong. Okay, it's one ring. Two rings. Notice it's not picking up. That's the White House press office. Now, the reason I'm told for this is because their first line is broken. So, on these nifty phones of ours, we're going to seize a second line and dial the number again. And the second line will pick up, and we'll hear the voice of President Reagan. Oh, this is so exciting. Oh! Someone beat me to it. You know, someone probably was listening to me doing this, and they beat me to it. Oh, that's low. You know, that is really low. Wow.
Meanwhile, the other one is still ringing. Well, at least we know the secret now, and we will get through tonight. If we have to stay on the air all night long, we will get through to the Reagan Hotline. Well, we're going to keep trying, and we'll get back as soon as we get a clear line here.
Press office. Today we have one cut. It is the president's regularly scheduled Saturday radio broadcast. The cut starts on my count.
We did it. We did it.
Three.
Two.
Two.
One.
One.
Where is he? Where is he? Where's the president? I don't hear him. He's not there.
All right. Hey, Americans, you may have heard me say before that one of the things I like most about my job as president is visiting and talking with our young men and women in uniform. I've met them all over the world, at our army outposts along the demilitarized zone in South Korea, on board the USS Constellation, in the hangars of Tempelhof Air Base in West Berlin, at Parris Island in South Carolina, and at the Coast Guard Academy a few days ago.
Oh, turn down your microphone, Mr. President.
I've seen that their commanders are right. They're the best we've ever had. I mention this because today is Armed Forces Day. Yes, this is the day for all of us to salute the soldiers, sailors, marines, and aviators who stand sentry on the frontiers of freedom all over the world. We say thanks to the patriots who, whether under the midnight star or the noonday sun, are always alert so that America's peace and liberty will always be safe. 7 years ago, when we came to Washington, we found that our armed forces had been badly neglected. We found airplanes that could not fly and ships that could not sail for lack of trained people and spare parts. The military couldn't recruit enough good people or hold on to those they had. Today that's changed. The men and women in the services are well trained and well equipped. Almost all new recruits have a high school diploma. Never before in peacetime have we had a military that is as well prepared. Just last month, the world saw that those who serve America on freedom's front, what they can do when the chips are down. I'm speaking of the story of the USS Samuel B. Roberts, a guided missile frigate and part of our task force to help protect passage through international waters in the Persian Gulf. The Roberts was on patrol when it hit a submerged mine. The mine blew a huge hole in the ship's hull, sent a fireball shooting up the exhaust stack in 150 feet in the air, and almost tore the Roberts in half. Luckily, no one was killed. Some might have said that she was doomed, head for the life rafts. Well, that's not what the men of the Roberts said. They were determined to show what they could do. Acting fast, they held the Roberts together with bolts and wire, took care of their injured, escaped the minefield, and with the help of other Navy ships, got safely to harbor. The captain summed up the spirit and determination of the entire crew when he closed his report, saying to the Roberts, "We saved her, we'll fix her, and we'll fight again." And he signed off with their motto, "No higher honor." That's the spirit, skill, and dedication that has been rebuilt in all our armed services today. No higher honor could be the motto of every American in uniform. Yesterday, to show the nation's gratitude again, I signed into law 3 bills expanding veterans' benefits in education, job training, health care, and other areas. The men and women on duty today should know that we'll still be behind them when their service is done. They also deserve to know that, like them, we're all doing our part to keep the peace. This week, I was pleased that the Senate began floor debate on the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces, or INF, treaty. This treaty has had a thorough and useful examination in committee. Now the Senate can join with me and show both our allies and adversaries that it, too, wants to help build a brighter peace and better world. I hope the Senate will provide its consent to ratification of the INF Treaty in time to bring it into force during my meetings with the General Secretary in Moscow. On this Armed Forces Day, let's also remember the important role the armed services have been playing in supporting law enforcement agencies in the fight against drugs. I asked the Secretary of Defense this week to find even more ways to use military resources against drug smugglers. I also called for a joint task force, executive branch and Congress, to draw up a unified plan to fight drugs. I hope the leaders of Congress agree with me that the campaign against illegal drugs must not be hostage to headline-seeking and partisan politics. This week we had another sign of America's strength, its economic strength, which undergirds all of our national security efforts. Trade figures came out for March. America exported in March more than ever before. Against this background of good news on trade, I'm going to veto the ill-advised trade bill Congress has sent me. Once my veto is sustained, we'll work hard to get a responsible trade bill, one that will strengthen, not weaken our economy. One last thought for Armed Forces Day and every day. If you see someone in uniform, would you go up, shake their hand, and thank them?
Okay, sir.
Until next week, thanks for listening, and God bless you.
Thanks, Ron.
This is the White House Press Office.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. Go ahead, take off. Well, that's the White House Press Office. We finally got through. We've been trying ever since we first put this program on the air in January, and today we've been successful. It's too bad that he had to give a speech on a boat like that of the distortion, but yeah, it was well worth the wait, I guess.
Constellation.
A constellation, yeah.
He was on the constellation.
Well, we're always happy to hear from people on our show.
That's right.
632-6901 is our phone number, area code 516. And, you know, I think, Lauren, you went through this whole vegetarian thing so that you could see me eat a cold Big Mac on the air. Well, this is the coldest thing I've ever felt in my life.
And
I can't identify any of these things. I'm just as scared as you were a few minutes ago, but wouldn't it?
Looking good, Eric.
All right, we'll take this call right after this. Oh, well.
Is that good?
Ron Brain Banners.
Hello, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike here.
Mike, who up?
Yeah.
Hey. Hello,
Mike.
Hi, who's this?
This is Lauren.
Lauren's here, too, but I've got a cold, clammy Big Mac in my mouth right now.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear who you said was there with you.
This is Lauren.
A vegetarian.
Lauren has just decided to remain a vegetarian, and
You missed this, Mike.
I had to eat the cold Big Mac that she didn't
that
eat.
That Eric was trying to tempt me with.
And so now I've got this, it's really cold. This is the coldest thing I've ever eaten. Cold Big Mac
wait a minute, it can't be the coldest thing.
Right, Mike, I was about to say that, but I thought it was pretty obvious.
Well, it is pretty, you see, things are colder when they're not supposed to be cold.
Yeah,
and a Big
true.
Mac is not supposed to be cold, and it feels very cold.
Hey,
now, ice cream is supposed to be cold.
When we were doing our Voice of Long Island shows,
I should mention, Mike Uhas.
Yogurt on the air.
Mike Uhas is the, is a USB alumnus, and we did the Voice of Long Island, for quite a few years, a few years ago.
Yeah.
Now, I do remember the night you you brought yogurt into the station. In fact, he used to bring all kinds of things into the station.
Yeah, I guess I did, didn't I?
He brought some kind of weird chocolate-covered something in a paper bag. I remember that.
Eric, you have...
What?
You have a sesame seed on your lip.
I have a sesame seed? Oh, my goodness. this is embarrassing.
And Mike, your name is in my bathroom, and I'm so glad I'm actually hearing your voice.
Now, what's that? My name
she
is
said
in
your
bathroom.
Said your name is in her bathroom. I'd like, go ahead, explain what you mean by that.
Well, in my bathroom is a magazine. I won't state what magazine it is, but on that magazine, the little subscriber tag says your name.
You must have...
Michael, what's your middle name?
No, Michael is my middle name.
Michael Uhas.
Well, it says it's you. It's
well,
you.
Occasionally, Mike donates magazines to needy homes.
It was probably my home. It was probably my bathroom. Thank you, Mike. Thank you.
Mike has been known to cover the entire country and deliver magazines. Where are you now, Mike?
I'm in California.
He's
right
in California right now, probably delivering magazines there.
Oh.
No, the only reason I'm calling
you know Jesse
is
Jackson.
Because, you know, how often I call you.
It's, I guess it seems the only time I do call you when I'm on, when you're on the air,
uh-huh,
is when I'm in California and there's a 3-hour time difference, because I usually go to bed pretty early, you know.
That's true. It's 11:52 here, but it's only 8:52 there.
I guess it is, huh?
We were just discussing that. We called California a little while ago because we had heard that Jesse Jackson was in the hospital, but it was a different Jesse Jackson, so we set out to find out how many Jesse Jacksons there were. And to quote a telephone company employee, there are a bunch of Jesse Jacksons in San Francisco area.
And that's being very qualitative.
Yeah.
Now, I guess the primary out here is on June 7th, huh?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And that's the finale. That's the big one.
That's the big one, yeah, I guess so. Not to change subjects too dramatically much.
Oh, that's fine.
I don't really know what you guys are talking about because, reception of USB is not too good to 3,000 miles away.
Well, we got picked up in Hicksville. That's a start.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, remember back on July, what was it, 30th or 31st of 1987, remember what you and I did?
No. What did we do?
We went to Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's right. We went to Washington, D.C. for a Contra hearing.
That's right. And
that was
remember
fun.
Remember who was testifying?
Donald Regan.
That's right. Have you read his book?
I've certainly heard about his book. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, well, you're going to hear about it from me because I just finished it last night.
Did you?
Yeah, it's a very interesting book.
Uh-huh.
I would recommend that you read it.
It's lively reading all the way through.
Pretty much. It's very very interesting, the things he says about Mrs. Reagan and her friend in California, you know.
Uh-huh. That's not why you're in California, is it?
No.
Oh.
No, I could have been within earshot of this Mrs. Quigley, I guess her name was.
Yeah.
The name was never mentioned in the book, but,
yeah, but
the press figured out who it was.
The press figured it out, right.
Yeah. But it's really very an interesting book. It describes in great detail his life on Wall Street and his life growing up and the way he was selected to become the treasurer, the secretary of the treasury of the United States.
Well, did he talk about the thrill and the honor of being up there in the Contra hearing with you and me in the audience?
No, he didn't mention our name.
He glossed over that completely, did he?
In fact, I think he did mention that he was there. That's about it.
Oh, but he didn't mention who was in the audience.
No, he didn't. He didn't say anything about
that's
it being
surprising
to the public or anything. Hey, I don't even think he mentioned even Daniel Inouye's name.
Oh, no, there's no excuse for that.
No, not at all.
Wow. So, not to be banal or anything, but how is the weather out there?
Oh, I was going to ask that.
You have to think of something else. It's hot?
I was in the San Joaquin Valley today. It was hoovering around 100.
It's 16 degrees here, Mike. Do you know what that converts to on the Fahrenheit scale?
16, let me guess. I would say round about 70?
61.
Okay. 61.
16, that's one I can always remember.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the only one I remember is 10 degrees is 50 degrees.
Is that right?
Yeah, look to your left.
Yes, it is right. How about that?
Yeah.
So that means 20 should be 100. No, 20 is 68. Boy, I'll never understand this metric stuff.
No. No.
Wow.
So what is the subject of discussion today? Is it food and eating habits?
Well, that was a major part of it.
Yes.
That was a major part. We were talking about long-distance AT&T coffees and stuff like that, but you'd have to be here to understand what we meant by that. We were talking about a presidential candidate named Michael Rapp, who's a lead dancer for Chippendales.
Oh.
Yeah, he's an exciting campaign platform.
Sure, he'll get the beefcake vote.
Yes, platforms of many kinds, actually. We called the White House press service. We just got through to them. We have been trying to call the White House press service for months, literally, and they've always been either busy or not answering. Today they weren't answering, but someone told me that if I called one line and then called the second line would answer, but I had to make the first line busy in order to get to the second line.
Ooh.
So we got through and we just listened to President Reagan's weekly address, which was distorted, and there were boat horns going all throughout it, and it was really something.
Was this that 800 number?
Yes, that 800
Good.
Number.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the things you can do with 800 numbers, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
800 of them.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, we have to make way for the brothers aren't going to be in tonight, I'm told. Chris Crowley is filling in for the brothers tonight.
Well, at least the show will be in able hands with Chris.
Yes. I don't know what he's filling in, but he is definitely filling in something over there. And you'll hear him on for a couple hours after brain damage, and we'll be back next week. Mike, when are you going to be up in New York again?
I don't know. When do you want me to be up?
Well, let's see. How about sometime in August?
I will keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be out here sometime in August also.
Well, it's in California.
Yeah.
What part of California are you in?
I am in the Bay Area.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, visit Jesse. The Jessies.
Well, I could visit him in the hospital. Huh?
Yeah, bring some flowers.
Find out which Jesse is in the hospital. Unfortunately, they don't say which hospital Jesse Jackson is in.
There must be hundreds of hospitals out here.
And Jesse Jackson in at least one of them. But
huh?
it's not, I should point out, it's not the Jesse Jackson. The Jesse Jackson is feeling fantastic. That's according to the Associated Press. He's feeling fantastic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They still keep coming through with typos, huh?
Oh, I mean, maybe he really said that. I don't know. Anything's possible. Well, Mike, thanks very much for calling.
Well, I guess I'm probably your last caller tonight, huh?
There is one more call that has been ringing, and I feel like I should just pick it up and say something to the person, because otherwise it'll kind of ruin their night, you know, ringing and ringing and ringing and not saying anything on the air.
Like I have been doing, and being charged for just listening to the phone ring.
How can you be charged for listening to the phone ring?
Well, because I don't use that long-distance company that you mentioned before.
You mean there are long-distance companies that still charge you for ringing?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you want, what I'll do is I will pipe this person in, and we can all talk together.
Okay, well, I'll just pipe down then and listen.
Okay, pipe down and we'll pipe in. Hold on. Please forgive the beeps. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Huh?
Hello?
Well, what is the young lady's name there?
The young lady's name here is Lauren.
Lauren, how come you didn't eat the Big Mac?
Come on, I feel strong, I feel good. I couldn't. I like being a vegetarian. I'm doing something wrong. I have to solve that problem.
But
you've given me a big problem here. I've got this cold, clammy Big Mac in front of me.
And Eric
what
is eating
it.
Eric
I'm
is
trying
weak,
to eat it. I don't know what to do with this thing.
Individual. Weak.
And getting weaker. You're right, sir. She should have made the plunge, I think.
I'm sorry, Eric.
maybe next week. It's 11:59. Chris Crowley is pacing back and forth. Let's at least start the outro theme. Yes, we're officially on our way out of here now, and we'll be back next week. I want to thank all the people that called, and thank you, caller, for your words of wisdom. We will be back next week for 2 hours of Brain Damage, starting at 10 o'clock and going on until midnight. Stay tuned for Chris Crowley filling in for the brothers, Power Surge, later on tonight. Thanks for coming by, Lauren, and
thank you, filling your guts and all that kind of thing.
See you again sometime soon when you decide to change another part of your lifestyle.
All right, I'll stop by.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
The lunatic is on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass. Remembering games, daisy chains and locks. Got to keep the lunas on the path. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their bonnet faces to the floor. And every day the paper boy brings more. Thank you. out the door, throw away the key. Someone in my head, but it's not me.
Beth with the Concert Billboard for Sunday, May 15th. Tonight, appearing at Fat Tuesdays, is Susanna McCorkle. Michelle Schacht will be appearing at the Lone Star. Iron Butterfly and Cult Brothers will be performing at the Ritz. O.T., Willpower, Dirge, and Breakdown will be playing at CBGB's. Vernon Reed and Friends will be appearing at the Knitting Factory. And the Charlie Hayden Quartet will be at Sweet Basil's. Monday, May 16th, Pat McLaughlin will be at the Cat Club. The Surreal McCoys will be playing at Tramps. The Carl Berger Group will be at the Knitting Factory. Steve Cochran will be appearing at Mickles. The Eddie Palmieri Septet will be playing at the Village Gate. And Richard Ryder will be at the Blue Note. Tuesday, May 17th, Kenny Werner Trio will be appearing at Fat Tuesdays through the 22nd. There will be a triple treat with Monty Alexander, Ray Brown, and Herb Ellis at the Blue Note through the 22nd. Steve Kuhn will be appearing at the Village Vanguard. The Benoit Boys will be at the Rock and Roll Cafe. And Burning Spear, with a special video tribute to Bob Marley and Peter Tosh, will be appearing at the Ritz. Willie DeVille will be at the Lone Star. The Hunting Accident will be playing at Tramps. And Robert Plant and Stevie Ray Vaughan will be appearing at the Meadowlands. Wednesday, May 18th, Destroy All Monsters will be at Mickles. Combo Limbo will be appearing at the Lone Star. Slander will be at the Ritz. Ghetto Blaster, African Pop, and Celluloid will be performing at SOB's. Nora York will be at the Knitting Factory. Smash Gladys and the Pharaohs will be appearing at the Cat Club. Love Camp 7 will be at the Speakeasy. The Digits and Busby will be playing at CBGB's. And Robert Plant and Stevie Ray Vaughan will be performing at the Meadowlands. Thursday, May 19th, Jimmy Owens will be at the West End Cafe. Eddie Palmieri will be at the Village Gate. Carmen Lundy will be performing at Sweetwater's through the 21st. Creeping Pumpkins and The Thing will be appearing at Maxwell's. Jesse Jansen will be playing at the Ritz. And Warlock and Burning Star will be at Sundance. Friday, May 20th, Throwing Muses will be playing at the Ritz. Chris Damian and Gigolo Ants will be performing at Maxwell's. Big Twist will be at the Lone Star tonight and tonight. Charlie Bird will be at the Jazzport tonight and tonight. The Cecil McBeat Quartet will be appearing at Fat Tuesdays through the 22nd. Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers will be appearing at Mickles. Frank Marino and Mahogany Rush will be performing at Sundance. And Miss Demina will be appearing at the Showcase. Saturday, May 21st, Big Twist will be appearing at the Lone Star. Charlie Bird will be performing at the Jazzport. Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers will be appearing at Mickles. Pretty Poison will be performing at the Ritz. The Pixies and Lazy Susan will be at the Maxwell's. Live Skull will be performing at CBGB's. Idle Rumors will be at the Speakeasy. Elements will be performing at the Open Center Tea House. The Steve Kuhn Trio will be at the Village Vanguard. Agnostic Front and Token Entry will be appearing at Sundance. And Julio Iglesias will be performing at Radio City Music Hall. This has been the Concert Billboard for Sunday, May 15th. The billboard can be heard weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m. and 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and midnight. If you have any questions or need further information, please give us a call here at the station at 632-6901.
Rod Stewart on 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook, 1211 in the evening. Studios really smell like a Big Mac right now after that whole two-hour segment of brain damage featuring the Big Mac attacks. Anyway, getting back to whatever here on USB, got some really cool stuff going on, like a interview with Michael Girard from Swans. I'm sure you're all psyched for that. Actually, it's not that bad, considering. You'll see what I mean. Anyway, and also, I don't know, all sorts of stuff. We were talking about that song, They Think I'm Sexy, and saying it would be a much better or a much happier country, probably, if people would just go out and say it, you know? Anyway, it's Tackhead Tape Time.
It's Tackhead Tape Time.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that some of the programming may contain material unsuitable for all audiences. Listen with discretion.
Even your worst most desires come down on this record. Even your most dubious dreams.
Thank you.